I'm supposed to tell you a story, so I'll tell you a story that has nothing to do with the Bible. It's about a man who came to a psychiatrist. And he said, "Doctor," he says, "I got a problem." He says, "Sometimes I think I'm a tent, and sometimes I think I'm a teepee." And the doctor looked at him and he said, "I know what your problem is. You're too intense." Thank you. Isn't that terrible? I'll tell you another story. There was a family that was crossing the plains of Nebraska in the dead of winter, and there was a big snowstorm, and they got stuck in the storm. And to try to keep themselves warm, they had the car running, and they became asphyxiated. A policeman found them the next day as the roads were cleared, and they were dead. So he took this family of four to the next town and put them in a church until they could get the mortuary to stop by and pick up the bodies. So the four members of the family were laid out in the pews of the church. The organist came in and was practicing, not realizing that the four of them were lying there, and she was playing the organ. And the fact of the matter was that in their asphyxiation, the family had not died at all. The name of the family were the Hills, Mr. and Mrs. Hill and their two children. And so as the organ was playing, they woke up. And they sat up in their pew and looked around. And the organist saw them sit up and she said, "Hark, the Hills are alive with the sound of music." Oh, it's Bible stories you want. Oh, thank you, Chuck. Oh, I didn't have my mission straight. Okay. Bible stories it is then. Wrong conference. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel. I don't know about you, but Daniel is one of my favorite Old Testament Bible characters. Now, if you don't know where Daniel is, don't feel bad. Find the book of Ezekiel. And it's just next door. Turn right, and you'll run into Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Now, if you're having trouble finding the book of Daniel this morning, tomorrow morning we're going to look at the book of Esther. So you can find that before breakfast and put a piece of paper there, and then you'll be ready to go. I want to read the first part of the first chapter, have a little prayer with you, and then we'll look at this story of Daniel together. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with all part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, or with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let's stop there and have a word of prayer, all right? Father, we know that this is a divinely inspired book. You are its author. And we know also that we need the Holy Spirit of God in our lives in order to understand it. And so as we take time out of our morning to look into the Bible, we pray that the Spirit of God would be our teacher. Open our eyes and give us the ability to see in a way that will make a difference in how we live. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, you all remember very well what happens in the book of Daniel. The children of Israel, for a long period of time, have not been faithful in obeying the Lord their God. And so earlier in Israel's history, God had sent the 10 northern tribes into captivity through the hand of the Assyrians, leaving the two southern tribes, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, to themselves, thinking, surely these two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin will understand how important it is to obey God. But alas, they did not. They continued in the ways of the 10 northern tribes, in idol worship and sin of various kinds. And so God raised up a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah preached a very unhappy message. He said that Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonians was going to come up and was going to take Israel, or take Judah, the two southern tribes, into captivity for 70 years. He was so specific that he told them exactly how long they were going to be in captivity. 70 years. And as the army of Nebuchadnezzar came into the land of Israel and surrounded the city of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar said, open the gates up and let them come in and go on into captivity. There's nothing you can do to stop them. Now, you can understand how unpopular that message was. It'd be like somebody in the United States saying, okay, just surrender to the Russians and go on into slavery, you're through. And we wouldn't take too kindly to that kind of a prophet. And they took Jeremiah and they threw him in a dungeon. Daniel was a young boy when all of this was going on. His people did not believe Jeremiah the prophet, and they fought Nebuchadnezzar and they lost. And the book of Daniel begins by pointing out that Jehoiakim was the king of Judah at that time. And Nebuchadnezzar took Israel. And Judah and Benjamin went into captivity. Daniel went into captivity with them. He was approximately 16 years old at the time. The passage here in verse 6 tells us that Daniel, along with his three friends, came from the tribe of Judah. And into the captivity of Babylon they went. Now, before we talk about Daniel, and in the book of Daniel has got some tremendous stories, and I'm not going to narrate all the stories. What I want to do is take some characteristics out of the life of Daniel and highlight them for you. But there's a fascinating man, this Daniel. Think about what was going on in this 16-year-old's mind as he watched Nebuchadnezzar's armies overrun his beloved city of Jerusalem, disembowel pregnant women, kill little children, loot and burn and destroy. And these images are in Daniel's mind as he's now taken into a foreign country. Now think about what it was like to be exported to Babylon. He went to a country that he had never seen before. It was totally alien and foreign to him. He had to learn to eat different foods. He was exposed to a different religion. He had to worship, or was tried to make to worship, different gods. He had to learn a different language, the language of the Chaldeans, the language of Babylon. He was jerked out of the temple, out of his home, away from the prophets, away from the priests, away from his friends, away from his kinfolk, away from his language, away from everything that was precious and familiar and important to him. He was a young lad of 16 years old when this happens. Can you imagine how difficult and traumatic that must have been for Daniel? And so Daniel is brought into the land of Babylon and raised to be a servant of the man who perpetrated the crimes in Jerusalem. When he was there in Jerusalem and watched all that pillage and carnage going on, he now has to go and serve in the household of this same man, Nebuchadnezzar. How would you handle that? Would you be bitter? Would you be angry? Would you be resentful? Would you be disoriented in your thinking? Would you wonder what in the world is going on? A lot of the people, says the Bible, in that day, said to God, God, we know we're not perfect. We know we'd sin. We know we've done a lot of wrong. But God, we're not anywhere near as bad as the Babylonians. Why do you use people worse than we to come after us? I mean, why don't you go after them? If you want to spank somebody, spank them. They're worse than we are. At least we worship you. So they couldn't understand it. And this is what Daniel went through. Now there are certain characteristics in Daniel's life that I want to draw to your attention. First, I want you to notice here, in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now the first thing I want you to notice about Daniel's life, and I'm going to write it here on the board, is he was obedient. Daniel was obedient. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Why? Because in the Old Testament, God had laid down some laws as to the way meat ought to be prepared, as to the certain foods you could eat and the certain foods you could not eat. And in this foreign land, the food was not prepared properly. We call it kosher today. It was not prepared the way it was supposed to be. And Daniel said, I will not break the law of God. I will go without food. He was obedient. He said, I will obey the laws of God. Now, my friends, there are two ingredients that go into obedience. The two pillars, the two foundation stones for obedience are self-control and self-denial. And we see these two characteristics in the life of Daniel. First, we see self-denial. He says, I will not eat of the food God said I cannot eat. And so he comes to the prince of the eunuchs, the guy who's the leader, and he says, now listen, I got a problem, you've got a problem. Let's talk about our problem. My problem is God says I can't eat your food. Your problem is if I don't eat your food, and I become emaciated and drawn and skinny, and the king's going to say, what happened to Daniel? I told you to feed him properly, and he's going to cut your head off. Now, I know you don't want your head cut off. And I know I don't want to eat your food. So we got ourselves a problem, a first-class problem. So here's what I want to do. I want to make a deal with you. I want to eat bread and water. Now, you're saying to yourself, there's no way you can eat bread and water and not get emaciated and withdrawn and lose weight and get skinny and shrivel up and be nothing. But let's trust God for it for 10 days. Let me go on this bread and water diet for 10 days And if in 10 days I start to lose weight and I start to get emaciated, then we'll go back and start all over. But if it works, then let me stay on the bread and water diet so I don't break the commandments of God. Now, who enjoys eating 3 meals a day of bread and water? That's all you get for 3 years, bread and water. Oh, did I see a young boy over there raise his hand? He liked bread and water. I think it was his dad putting his hand up. None of us like that, do we? Self-denial. See, Daniel said, in order to be obedient, I will deny myself. 16 years old. And he says, I'll obey God rather than pamper my body. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is self-control. Verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear the Lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and drink. For why should you see his face worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. See, we talked about that. So Daniel reasons with him and talks about it with him. Now, the thing I want you to notice here is self-control. And I thought to myself, if I were Daniel, I probably would have gotten angry over the fact that God threw me into that foreign country to be a slave in the king's palace. And I would have been resentful and bitter and angry, and I would have said, God, why? But you see, Daniel did not do that. He had self-control. Now, self-control, and listen to this carefully, self-control comes from believing the promises of God. See, when Daniel was raised, he heard Jeremiah say, you got to spend 70 years in captivity. And Daniel said, that's the word of God. God sent me into captivity. God brought this about, just like God had said to the prophet Jeremiah. Therefore, I will not get bitter. I will not become angry. I will not be resentful. I will control myself, and I will go into captivity with a spirit of obedience. And I'll take this next 70 years of my life and I will live it to the glory of God. I refuse to get bitter. Now let me point out to you that your attitude in the final analysis is an expression of your will. Never forget that. Your mind is the obedient servant of your will. You will to be angry and resentful, or you will to be in self-control. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would keep the commandments of God, self-denial, and he would obey the promises of God, self-control. And he kept a good spirit in the time that he was in captivity. So obedience is the first word I want you to see characterizing the life of Daniel. Now, the second thing I want you to notice, and I'm going to skip around in the book of Daniel just so you can catch this. These aren't the only places you'll find them. But turn with me to chapter 9. Years have gone by now. Daniel's no longer a young man. He's an old man. I mean, real old. I mean, almost as old as Harv. And it says here in chapter 9, verse 1, and in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which is made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. You see, Daniel is still in Chaldea, but the Medes now have taken over. Nebuchadnezzar is dead. His son is dead. Darius is now the king. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You see, Daniel is reading the Bible. So that's the next word I want you to notice about Daniel. He's in the Word. All through the book of Daniel, you find him in the Word. Now, the Word is not that plentiful. And you can't go to a Bible bookstore and pick up for $12.50 a Bible. They had to take the Bible back in those days, and they wrote it out longhand on a scroll, a great big long piece of sort of like paper. Not exactly like it, but sort of like it. There were scarce. But it was so important to Daniel that he made sure he got himself a copy of it, and he was reading it. And what happens here in Daniel chapter 9 is he's reading it, and he remembers 70 years have gone by now. Daniel is now 86 years old. 70 years have gone by, and he reads in the book of Jeremiah the thing he remembered Jeremiah saying when he was a young boy of 16. You're going to go into captivity for 70 years. And Daniel counts up on his fingers and toes, and he says, 70 years have gone by. And so he prays and asks God to deliver them. But the thing I want you to notice here was Daniel was in the Bible. He spent time in the Word of God. Now the third thing I want you to notice about Daniel is found in chapter 6. Now, while you're turning to chapter 6, let me remind you of something about the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel has two parts to it. It has the parts we're studying, which I call the narrative. These are the stories about Daniel. But then there are the prophecies of Daniel, and they're all intermixed. You got a little bit of story, and you got some prophecy, then a little bit of story, then some prophecy. And even the stories are not all in exact order. They're kind of mixed up a little bit, so you got to work your way through it. So now we've come back to chapter 6, and Darius is the king. He's still the king here now. And I want to read a little bit out of chapter 6. Now, this is the part that all of you are familiar with. You've heard this story many, many times. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel's the prime minister of the whole country. Next to the king, he's the number one man. He is in charge. Now, you can imagine what happened in the minds of the other people. They didn't like that. They were jealous. So verse 4 tells us what happens. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion or fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. I want to pause here for a moment and make an observation. You see, they were jealous of Daniel's position. And so they said, we've got to find fault with this guy. And so they looked over his life, and they scrutinized it and evaluated it, and they said, where is some sin? Where is some wrong in his life so we can highlight it and discredit him? And they couldn't find it. In his endeavor to be obedient and follow the Word of God, Daniel lived a blameless life. So they said to themselves, we're going to have to find fault with him regarding his walk with God. We're going to have to do something. So now the plot begins to thicken. How are they going to get this done? Here's what happens. Verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. And here is the decree. That whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. You see, what happened was these leaders appealed to the pride and vanity of the king. They said, you're so great, O king Darius, that nobody should worship anybody but you for 30 days. And old Darius, proud as a peacock, said, great idea, I like that. And they said to themselves, we've got Daniel. Now we've got him. So what happens? Verse 8. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they came near and spoke to the king concerning the king's decree. And I won't read the rest, but you know what happened to Daniel. What happened to him, by the way? What did they do to him? What happened to him? I can't hear you. What happened to Daniel? What happened to Daniel is they said Daniel was praying to God. That's right. Everybody ought to pray to God. So the king and all the princes prayed to God. Is that right? No. What happened to Daniel? They threw him in the lion's den, didn't they? They knew they had him. Why? Because they found Daniel doing what? Praying. Let's put that down as the next word. Daniel was a man of prayer. He was praying. Now notice how he was praying. It says, now when Daniel in verse 10 knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now I don't know about you, but if I had been with Daniel, I'd say, ooh, Daniel, don't do that. Don't do that. First of all, close the windows. Pull the drapes. Get up in the morning before it's light, like Jesus did. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he departed and went out into a solitary place and there prayed. Don't do it in front of everybody. Daniel, Jesus said, go in the closet and pray. Don't throw your windows open and pray out there so everybody can see you. You're going to get into trouble. But not Daniel. You know why Daniel prayed with his windows open here in verse 10? I'll tell you why. It's because that's the way he had always prayed before. How you pray isn't important. It's just that Daniel knew in his mind and in his heart that he should not change because of the decree. And so he did it exactly like he did it before. Daniel was a man of prayer and a man of conviction. Now, the next thing I want you to see about Daniel is found in chapter 2. Now, chapter 2 is one of my favorite parts. I'm going to tell you the story. I'm not going to read it, but this is an exciting part. Daniel, back in chapter 2, has just become one of the king's counselors. He's gone through 3 years of training. He is now a member of the king's court. The king has a dream. So he gathers his counselors together. Daniel's not there. And he says to his counselors, I want you to interpret my dream for me. And the counselors said to him, okay, give us your dream, and I'll interpret it for you. And the king says, oh, no, you don't. No, no, not so fast. Anybody can give an interpretation to a dream, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. So that I know that you really know what you're talking about, I want you to tell me what I dreamt, as well as the interpretation to the dream. And they said, King, you know, we're not mind readers. There's no way in the world we can tell you what you dreamt. And the king said, I thought so. A bunch of fakes, that's what you are. Cut their heads off. Every counselor cut their heads off. So the captain of the guard comes knocking on Daniel's door and says, it's time for you to get your head cut off. And Daniel says, why? What did I do? He says, well, The king wanted his dream interpreted, and nobody could tell the king what the dream was, so he wants everybody dead. And Daniel says, now wait a minute, I'm not so eager to lose my head. Give us a few days and let us figure it out. Now this is what I want to read. Verse 14. Then Daniel answered the council and wisdom of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So what Daniel did is he goes to the king and he says, King, give us a little time. We'll get the thing figured out. What's the next thing he does? He gathers his friends together and he says, now listen, we got to get to the bottom of this. Pray for me while I go before God and see if I can figure out the dream. So the next word that I want to write down here is the word fellowship. Daniel was in fellowship with a band of like-minded brothers in Christ or in God. They were locked together. Now remember, see, Daniel did not have available to him the sacrificial system. The prophets were gone. The priests were gone. The sacrifices were gone. The feast days were gone. There was no houses of worship. He was all by himself. And what did he do? He gathered around him a band of guys that he was in fellowship with, and they prayed with him and stuck with him. The next thing I want you to notice is about Daniel, and this will be the last thing, is chapter 4. Now, chapter 4 is one of those exciting passages in Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar is still the king. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a very powerful king. And one day, with nothing to do, Nebuchadnezzar went out in his palace and he looked around and he was kind of proud and he was like a peacock and he kind of strutted his feathers and he said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, you're pretty great. Look at this great kingdom you built. And God came to him and said, Nebuchadnezzar, you didn't build it. I gave it to you. And just between you and me, for your own safety and health, it would be wise for you not to forget that. Well, Nebuchadnezzar forgot it. And on another occasion, he goes out and he's waltzing around looking at it. He says, oh, great Babylon, I made you what you are. And God comes to him. He says, Neb, old boy, I thought we had that figured out last time we talked, but evidently I didn't communicate to you. For the next 7 years, you're going to be like an animal. And you're going to eat grass out on the field. And you won't be able to think like human beings think. You're going to think like an animal thinks. So here's the great king of Babylon for 7 years out there in the fields. Howl, growling. Can you imagine how long his fingernails got in 7 years? Can you imagine the body odor? Having not been able to bathe for 7 years? Can you imagine what he must have looked like? At the end of 7 years, he comes to his senses. He stands up, he looks around, he sees himself, and it dawns on him that 7 years have passed. And he feels, and there are no knife wounds. And he thinks to himself, extraordinary, that I should live through that. Now remember, back in those days, though the king was powerful, everybody wanted to kill him. So he had guards and bodyguards and cupbearers. You know what a cupbearer is? A cupbearer is a guy who tastes everything to make sure the king isn't poisoned. If you're a cupbearer, that means if the king's going to get poisoned, you get to get killed before the king does. Isn't that a neat job? So he had all these things to keep himself protected. And now he was 7 years living out there like an animal, and he didn't die. And he says to himself, I wonder how it happened. Now, with a little sanctified imagination, you can see Daniel standing there with a crown in one hand, the scepter in the other, the robe over his shoulder or over his arm, saying, Nebuchadnezzar, welcome back. I've been keeping the kingdom for you. Remember, he was the prime minister. He was the number one man in the kingdom next to the king. And Daniel kept the kingdom for him. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but I can imagine that those Jews must have come to Daniel during those 7 years when Nebuchadnezzar was living like an animal and said to Daniel, listen, remember Nebuchadnezzar came down and destroyed Jerusalem. On some dark, moonless night, just let us go out there and we'll take a spear and we'll run it through him. You can become the king. We'll make it a Jewish nation, serve God down here in Babylon, and everything will be great. And Daniel says, time out. No way. We're not going to do that. Jeremiah said, 70 years here, then we go home. God said, we're down here because of our sins. If God wants to remove Nebuchadnezzar, God can remove him. That is not our decision. Don't touch him. Now, as a result of that, notice the confession of Nebuchadnezzar. Chapter 4, verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Don't you know he understood that? 7 years. He really understood that one. And at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and the brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Nebuchadnezzar became a Christian. I believe when we go to heaven, we're going to meet Nebuchadnezzar. And why did he become a Christian? Because of Daniel. And so that's the last word I want to put down here for you. Witnessing. And as you read, and we're not going to do it this morning, but as you read through Daniel's relation to the kings, he always brings God in. For example, in chapter 2, and we didn't read this portion, when he goes before Nebuchadnezzar with a dream, he says, now Nebuchadnezzar, you can understand, dreams don't come from men, they come to God. Let's pray and ask God for wisdom. He's constantly bringing God into his relationships. He's constantly witnessing. Now, I don't know how many people came to Christ as a result of Daniel, but I know two for sure. Darius, as a result of Daniel being thrown in the dungeon, the lion's den, and Nebuchadnezzar here in chapter 4. Not too bad. He was a witnessing man. Now, God says of Daniel, my friends, that he was beloved of God. And I want to say to you this morning that he was beloved of God because of those things we've got written there on the screen. Now, you're all navigators. I want to ask you, what do they look like as you see them there on the screen? What are they? The wheel illustration, isn't it? See, Christ the center, living the obedient Christian life with the spokes of the word, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing. So, just between you and me, I don't want you to tell anybody this. Dawson Trotman did not think up the wheel. Daniel did. It comes from Daniel. Daniel was the guy that put the wheel into his life. Daniel was the first navigator. Not Dawson Trotman. Now, don't tell Lauren Sandy that, or I won't be able to speak at these conferences anymore. But the message is this, that if we will put these into our lives as Daniel did, we will walk according to the way God wants us to walk. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the life of Daniel. A man who had everything going against him and used it to his advantage. we would be like Daniel. To the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.